Hey, everybody. Thanks for taking the time to listen to this podcast from Forest City North Church. We're a church in London, Ontario. And our hope is that this message that you're listening to will have an impact on your life. I encourage you to grab a coffee, make yourself a tea, sit back, and enjoy this message.
For the next few minutes, I would like to enter into the story of Christmas. You know, the story of Christmas and Christmas itself, we all acknowledge the fact that it comes every year. We recognize the importance of the list that we have and the gatherings. We get together with friends and family. We get together with family that we don't really want to get together with, but we do it because it's Christmas. The list, the money that is spent, the gifts that are bought. In the midst of all this, sometimes the heart of Christmas gets lost. Not intentionally, it just kind of happens to us. It kind of drifts away, or it takes a back seat to what is going on in our lives, or maybe it comes an afterthought. The story that was just read for us from Luke chapter 2 is truly the heart of Christmas. I love the story that was read for us because it speaks so clearly to this powerful image and the powerful example of what a baby can do. Mary and Joseph, they are, not expecting to go on a trip. Mary, I'm sure, had it in her mind what she wanted to do when her baby would be born, but they find themselves on a trip, on a journey back to Bethlehem. They arrive and there's no space for them. There's no room. If you want a kind of the feel of what's going on, you know what it's like in the city to try to get a reservation when there's a hockey tournament in town. It's like you can't get a reservation at a restaurant or find a hotel that's available because there's so many people and so many families around. It's Mary and Joseph find themselves in this moment, and so they find themselves in a stable. And Jesus is born, and they take him, they lie him in a feeding trough. Now, it's interesting when you take a look at this story because you can recognize that there are many different layers to it. There's many different angles to it. And there's also different personalities that emerge from the story. On top of Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus, there's others. Sometimes traditionally, we think about the wise men that showed up. Now, you need to know that they actually show up much later, but because they brought super cool gifts, we include them in the story. They brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and so you kind of go, okay, you're in. We'll put you in the nativity scene on our mantle. But technically, they don't show up till later. But there's another group that kind of emerges out of the story, and it's the shepherds. This is the most unusual group of people that it should never have been included. They should never have been invited into this moment because the shepherds, they're not well-liked. They're not respected. Matter of fact, these guys would have been pushed to the fringe of culture. They would not have been invited to family get-togethers. You wouldn't want them to marry into your family because people don't look at them very highly. Now, they're not necessarily like the other shepherds of the Bible that are okay. Like you think about Moses, who's a shepherd, and he leads God's people out of Egypt, out of slavery. You may have seen the movie. It's actually in the Bible first, And he was a good shepherd, or maybe you've seen the David and Goliath thing, or you've heard about it, and that's in the Bible as well. And David was a good shepherd, and he wrote these Psalms, and he was an okay guy. But not these guys. These guys weren't well respected. They weren't trusted. They were more like thieves than they would be to get into the story of Christmas and the baby Jesus. Now, one of the things that I love doing is I love taking some time to examine a story and take different things from it that is familiar to me, but yet something new. Ever listen to a story that you've heard before and you kind of just shrug it off and you kind of just go, oh, I've heard it before, and you kind of just, push through it. But did you notice something about the shepherds and when they heard the news about baby Jesus arriving? It's two little words. It says, that night. That night. I've never noticed this before. It struck me as I read that again, that night was like an ordinary night to these guys. They had been busy during the day, leading their flock, watching over their sheep, and that night was like any other night. They were gathered around maybe a campfire, and maybe they were watching their sheep so that wild animals wouldn't come and steal them, or maybe they were watching for other shepherds that could potentially steal their sheep. It was on that night, in that moment, when an angel appears, it was in the darkness that they received this message. There's a baby born. Darkness. I have a confession to make. When I was a kid growing up, I was afraid of the dark. I really was. I wouldn't admit that to too many people, and I'm okay with embracing it now. I'm a little bit past being a kid. My wife might say different, but it's okay to admit now. And just so we're clear, it's not at the level like Calvin and Hobbes, you know, that cartoon that's so awesome. Like he's got the monster under the bed every night, you know. It wasn't kind of like that, but there was enough fear of the darkness and enough anxiety that created a stir inside of me. One of my first jobs as a teenager growing up in New Brunswick was working on a farm. And I used to love working on the farm. And we would have so many cool things that we could do, like driving pickup trucks and tractors, and we're like 12 and 13 years old. I don't think they should have ever let us do that, but they did. And we would, you know, bring the hay in during the day, and we'd milk the cows in the morning, we'd milk the cows at night, and it was such a great experience. But there was one part of this whole experience that I couldn't stand. It was when we arrived early in the morning to milk the cows, and it was still dark, and the farmer would say to us, "I want you to go out to the back field, and I want you to bring the cows in." I'd break out in a cold sweat. I'd be so nervous because it was so dark, and I think it goes without saying that backwoods New Brunswick is a little darker than city dark. It's like pitch black, and these experiences of branches breaking or trees creaking would make the hairs on my neck stand up, and I'd be like terrified, but I had to go find the cows, and I would go find them, and then we would bring them in, and as I was bringing them in, something would happen. The light would begin to come up over the horizon. And the light began to push the darkness away, and the light illuminated my path, and it subsided the fear within me, and the anxiety would begin to disappear. Because the light made a difference in the darkness. It was on this night that these shepherds were visited by an angel. Have you ever wondered why it was night? I mean, why wasn't it like in the morning sunlight as it's coming up over the horizon? Why wasn't it midday? Why wasn't it like just as the sun was setting? It would have been super cool and a good photo op time, you know, backdrop with the sun setting. But it didn't happen that way. It was in the night, in the darkness, that the message of a baby being born in Bethlehem, as the shepherds watched over their flocks nearby. I started thinking about, well, what's the answer to this question? Why is it nighttime? Why is there darkness? And I began to realize that Jesus actually answers this a little later in his life. See, Jesus would grow up and he would eventually attract a following. There would be crowds of people that were interested in Jesus. He became kind of popular because he told great stories and he, you know, taught really well, and he taught in ways that people had never heard before, and he would heal people, and so crowds would gather around. And actually, in one of these moments, the religious leaders actually tried to trick Jesus. They would try to stump him. They would try to trick him. And this one occasion, it's found in the Gospel of John, that they brought this person that was caught in their own personal darkness, and they cast them before Jesus, and they wanted to tell Jesus or trick Jesus into condemning this person to death. But Jesus doesn't do that. He gets down, and he picks this person up, and he restores them and says, "I don't condemn you. You are forgiven." And as a religious leader in the crowds watch this moment, Jesus steps into it and he speaks to the answer of that night. Because in John chapter 8, verse 12, he says these words, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you have the light that leads to life." That night, when the news arrived to the shepherds, it was because eventually Jesus would shine out of the darkness and bring light. He would bring light to the darkness. Now, this is a very interesting time for Jesus to say these words, because this is a time that's called the Feast of the Tabernacle, and the Jewish nation would gather together, and they would actually remember and reflect on God's deliverance from slavery. It goes back to that Moses movie that you probably have seen. And this moment where they would reflect and remember how God provided for them, and how he directed them, and how he protected them, and how he was their light in the darkness. And actually, this time of celebration, they had these four candelabras that would go up on top of 75-foot poles, and they would light these candles and these candelabras. And it's known that the light that cast from these four candelabras actually filled the city, so there wasn't any darkness. See, I wonder if this is a moment where Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," that everybody stopped and kind of went, "I think I might get what he's saying. I think I might actually catch a little bit of what he's intending to say." He says, "I am the light of the world." Now, light is interesting because we often take light for granted, don't we? We take sunlight for granted. We just see it, it comes up in the morning, it sets at night, and we don't think much about it. Except for when there's seasons and times when there's lots of clouds and winter months when things get really dark and dim, and sometimes we experience maybe seasonal, you know, depression from it. And so we crave light, sunlight. And so we go on vacation south. We book, you know, cruises and all-inclusive vacations because we're looking for sunlight. We just want the warmth of the sun on our skin. Some babies that are born need extra light for healing. Vegetation, plants. Plants need light. They need light to survive. This week, I actually YouTubed this. I actually YouTubed a time lapse of a plant that was following the ray of light through a window. It was a time lapse. I know you're thinking, "Man, Ron, you're living the dream. You know, you've got your life is filled with excitement if you're doing that on YouTube." And it's true. I was amazed by this time lapse. It was, you could just see it just subtly. The plant would lean into the ray of sunlight because it was trying to absorb the sun as it came through the window of the home. Sunflowers turn towards the light. See, light brings growth. Light brings comfort. Light brings guidance. Light brings protection. And light exposes. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." But notice what he says. He says this, "But if you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you have the light that leads to life." I love the line, "You won't have to walk in darkness." See, you may not be afraid of the dark anymore. You may not have experienced what it's like bringing cattle in from the back fields, or maybe watching sheep at night, and you kind of just shrug your shoulders and go, "That's interesting. That night the angel showed up and the shepherds were in the darkness. Big deal." But you know what? My suspicion is that there are some of us in this room and listening to my voice that understand darkness in a different way. That maybe understand what it's like to walk in the darkness. It's the darkness of a relationship that has gone bad. It's the darkness of a marriage that is maybe drifting. It's the darkness of watching a grown child go off the rails and make poor decisions. It's the darkness of anger and bitterness. Maybe it's even the darkness of past choices that you just can't seem to forgive yourself for. You just can't move past it. Or maybe it's the darkness of dreams that haven't been fulfilled. You had all these hopes and dreams, and they're just not fulfilled. Or maybe it's the darkness of the haunting question of what it means to stand before God. See, my concern for us this Christmas in 2017 is that there are some of us that the darkness has become home. That the darkness has settled in, and it's all you know. You work hard at pushing it away. You work hard at covering it up. You work hard at trying to find your own light in the midst of the darkness. But the darkness continues to creep back into your heart and your soul. And you're going, "I don't know what to do anymore. I can't seem to overcome this darkness on my own. Jesus says that he is a light, that you won't have to walk in darkness anymore. But in that, he also says, in the midst of it, he says that you will have life. That the light can actually bring life. This is most fascinating. Because the life that he speaks about here is not necessarily speaking about the physical life. What he's talking about here is an inner life that comes in the heart and the soul and the spirit of a person. That a life that emerges out of this light that he offers to us that brings us hope, that brings us peace, that brings us the contentment that we so long for, that thing that we're looking for that we can't find. He says, here it is. I give it to you that this light can bring life. So this means Jesus, the light of the world, illuminates a path for our reconciliation with God. He eliminates the sting of our brokenness and our sin. He guides us through the storms of life. He empowers us to the fullness of the dreams in which we have. He brings freedom from our past. He brings forgiveness in the midst of our pain and darkness. This is the power of the message of Christmas. That this baby that was born in a manger was no ordinary baby, but as a baby that would grow to become the light of the world. Did you notice, though, what Jesus says after he says, I am the light of the world? He says, if you follow me. That word follow is a great word. It's a great word because it really speaks into the truth of this idea of following him by faith, by putting trust in him. See, the word follow is not like becoming a fan of Jesus, like, you know, joining the crowd or following him on Twitter or whatever, and I think he has a Twitter account now, but it's not like that. The word follow actually means I am going to put my trust and my faith in this one who is light in the darkness, because the light has a name and his name is Jesus. Jesus. That when we follow him, we don't have to walk in the darkness that resides inside of us, that we can move towards life. But did you notice the word if in there? If you follow me. I almost imagine this gentle moment that Jesus has. He's just restored this person, forgiven them, but then in this moment he says, if you follow me. It's like he lays it out in front of them as if it's a choice. He lays the choice down in front of them and he gently says, if you follow me, you don't have to walk in darkness anymore. That you can have life. You know, this Christmas 2017 is a Christmas that has the potential to be the answer to the things that you're searching for in life. Because the truth that emerges from this story is a story actually of love. That there is a God who loved you so deeply that he wanted to pour his grace out on you. That he wanted you to experience the love and the grace that comes from the person of Jesus, the light of the world. You know, as we close our service tonight, as we end this conversation, I want you to know that this baby didn't stay a baby, that he grew up to be a man, and that eventually he would go to a cross. And he would go to a cross that it would eventually take our sin upon himself, that he would go to a tomb, and 3 days later, he would resurrect from that tomb. He would bust out of the tomb, conquering sin, conquering brokenness, conquering death, conquering the darkness that we feel inside. And in the midst of all this, we see a life that emerges from the light. And this is the gift that he offers to you this Christmas. In the midst of all your lists, in the midst of all your parties, in the midst of all the decorating and the lights and everything that comes along with this wonderful time of the year is a gift that he offers to you this Christmas. Sometimes when I have these conversations with people privately, they'll say to me, Ron, like, how do I do this? I'm kind of sensing that you know, I need to make this decision. I need to really, truly follow Jesus, allow him to be the light in my life. And oh, it's a simple conversation. It really is. It's a conversation that simply goes like this. Jesus, I'm done running from you. I'm done trying to mask my own darkness. I want you, Jesus, to become the light of my life so that I don't have to walk in darkness anymore. Jesus, I want you to be my life. Today, I follow you. You know, it's interesting about this conversation because it's not something magical. It's not something mystical. It's really, truly the heart that matters in this. And as you think about this, and maybe tonight you said that conversation, you had that little prayer, and you said, Jesus, I want to follow you. Two things I want to say to you this Christmas. One is this: if you said that prayer, tell somebody. Maybe you came here tonight with a friend that's part of the North here, and just tell them before you leave tonight, hey, I said that prayer. When something great happens to us, we can't help but share it. We want to tell people about it. And I want to encourage you, tell somebody. The second thing is this: find a church to plug into. Find a group of people that you can journey with in this thing called faith. If it's a church that maybe you've drifted from, a church that you grew up in that you just haven't plugged into in a long time, maybe go back. Or maybe if that's not cool for you and you're just like, man, I can't go back to that. Or maybe it's a church like the North here or a church in your neighborhood, whatever it is. Because I am convinced that in order for you to experience the light that brings light to the fullest, you need to connect with other people who are on the same faith journey so that that light can grow and get brighter and brighter and brighter. Darkness filled the land. And over the horizon, there was a great light. A baby in a manger. The great light has a name. His name is Jesus. And this Christmas, we celebrate this wonderful truth, that God came to us to be our light. Listen to this song. Let's stand. I just didn't want you to forget tonight, so I dropped my light, my candle. Hold it up real high for me just for a second. There is a light in the darkness, and his name is Jesus. May you never, never forget his love for you. As you take these candles tonight, place them somewhere around the Christmas celebration. And if someone asks you, hey, what's with the candle? Tell them, there's a light that has a name, and his name is Jesus. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We hope you have a wonderful celebration. And before I let you go, I want to pray for you. Let me say a prayer. God, I thank you for tonight. It's been so awesome to be together in this space, to be reminded of the power of the light that changes people's lives, that shines in the darkness. Thank you for the hope and the peace that this light brings. God, I continue to pray for those who are wrestling with this decision to give their lives to you. May they have the courage and the strength. May you reveal yourself to them in a powerful way this Christmas. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.